Well, greetings this morning, friends. It's good to see each of you here, and it's good to have our guests here from Kansas, Missouri.
Kansas City.
And also Nebraska. I was thinking about that because somehow or another I thought these guys were from Dakota. I don't know where I come up with that. And I was trying to remember whether it was North Dakota or South Dakota, and here it is, Nebraska. So we'll throw all that out. But it's good to have you with us. May the Lord richly bless you this morning. And we greet each of you who are with us live this morning, or perhaps at the time you'll be viewing this, it'll be a recorded session. Wherever you are around the world and in one of the groups that meet with us regularly are those who may just be happening up on this session today. We welcome you with us. And just to bring a notification for you, have you never been with us before, we'd like to remind everyone that all of these sessions being brought to you on the internet are done through the facility of the Midwest Center for Truth here in Northwest Arkansas. All of these sessions, this session and the sessions throughout the weeks, are a ministry of CMI, Bible Research Center, which is located here on the grounds, and they are a production of CMI, audio, video, network system, and not only in the video department that you are now watching, these are being brought to you through the mediums of Ustream and YouTube as well. So may the Lord bless you. And not only, as I was going to say, do we have these video presentations, but audio as well through the radio station, Habitation of God Radio Network. You can certainly find that radio station easily by just coming to our website and clicking right on the radio station there, Habitation of God, and no sooner than you do that, then you are listening to the programs that are being presented at that time on that station. Also, we have what we call CMI 24/7, which is a video presentation. We use sessions, recorded sessions. That we have here. We use recorded sessions from a lot of other places as well where we've had Bible conferences. But every hour of the day, this gospel is being presented in that way on CMI 24/7. You can also click on that there on our website. All right. We want to continue for a period of time now. Oh my, going back probably into last year. You look at things like we do so often because of the schedule and because of the trips that we make and the schedule we have here and all of that. It's not unusual to you kind of divide every. You look at things in weeks and months and they seem to pass by very quickly. But at least for a year, the Lord has been dealing with our hearts. And I say our hearts because it doesn't just involve me. But many of those that are here and those that I communicate with on a regular basis, is the Spirit of the Lord has been emphasizing not the doctrine, because we're not without doctrine, but not the doctrine, not the belief system, because despite all that you try to do, you will have some kind of a belief system. So it isn't that these things are bad, it's just that that has not been, nor do I think it is, ever. But certainly it has not been the focus of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. But rather the focus has been upon the person. This may well have been drawn to our attention, I think, as far back as sometimes last year through an email that come in through a very precious group of people with regard to just that. If we would explain our using of the term person when we relate it to salvation, the person of our salvation. We were happy to do that and had several sessions here on our Monday night open forum on that, but it was right in the midst of the time that the Lord was just focusing our attention. His attention is always focused there, always. The Spirit of truth is always focused upon the truth, and the truth is a person. So that focus upon our heart, and it related to different aspects of Christ. It related to glory, the person of glory. I remember that it related to a day. The Sabbath day. I spent most of this year on that, the Sabbath. In the beginning of that search, I had little or no understanding of the Sabbath. I knew what we pick up in Bible colleges and in teachings and all of that. But I had no comprehension of the Sabbath. In order to talk about the Sabbath, I had to put it as a thing past, or get rid of it, or say it, you know, it no longer exists. Well, as a ceremony, of course it exists as a ceremony with our Jewish, with the Jews anyway, but I'm not talking about existing as a ceremony. It exists as a ceremony in the Christian mainstream Christian churches because we've changed it to Sunday. I don't know how that happened. It just happened. But I knew little about it until the Spirit of God focused that whole day into the person of Jesus Christ. And of course, Sabbath does not mean seven, it means rest. And so that whole search came to focus upon what is true rest. And you can only find that in Christ, because it's not something He gives to you because you're tired and worn out and don't want to live for God anymore. That's not it. It isn't something He gives to you. It's something the Father reveals in you, in the person of His Son. And our soul enters into that realization of Christ. And it is there that we find true rest. True rest. Well, that continues. That continues in the person of our hope. Person of our hope. is still the reality that I'm dealing with in most places that I've been recently, and here as well. Expectation. But here we've just been looking at the person in each of those, in each of those realities, not separated fragments. Oh Lord, hon, how we do that. How we do that. Our fragments. Separated fragments. I'm thinking about the Lord feeding the multitudes. You know about that. We need not turn and read it. But there's something that so many seem to just miss about that story. And I think it's because of our human nature and not wanting to clean up the messes that we make, even while we would be having a picnic or feeding people. There's not too many that enjoy jumping in, sweeping the floor, cleaning the tables, and washing the dishes, is there? Or having a barbecue or whatever, you know. Oh, no, I'm talking about right here on this property we have barbecues. And putting everything back the way it was before we had the barbecue. That's a natural tendency we'd like to not, you know. And people tend to look at what Jesus had his disciples to do just in that way. I heard a preacher call him, Jesus, a dyed-in-the-wool, exemplary environmentalist, because he would not leave crumbs of food laying around on the ground. And I thought, oh, Lord, you know, I don't think that's what that's all about. But it is about the fragments, if you'll read that, and I'm not going to stay with it anymore this morning. I need to go on, but every time I think of gathering up the fragments into one basket, which is Christ himself, because it's all brought to him. He blessed them and sent them out in the first place. Every word is a testimony of him. And it is, and certainly written that way. But that these, and certainly we many times are confronted with them that way. I was confronted with Sabbath. I've been confronted with the term glory, and on and on and on and on. But when the Lord puts his hand to it, it ceases to be an isolated fragment, an isolated teaching in the Scripture that we can build doctrines upon and belief systems upon to suit our desires, whatever we want it to be or don't want it to be, or whatever best suits our background or the teaching in our, you know, in our denomination, all of that kind of stuff, hon. And you have to admit that that happens. I mean, my Lord, we're in a sea of it today. Of fragments. Fragments. Some will gather up 8 or 10 of them and make a fundamental statement of faith concerning a whole Christian organization out of 8 or 10 fragments. I was taught that thoroughly. So I speak of that which I know. But for all of that to finally be gathered up into Christ and find the substance of it, the reality of it, the thought of it, the definition of it. But more than that, the very substance, the person himself. Rather than associating peace with him as something he gives, we come, as Paul declares in the Scripture and teaches, we come to realize that he himself is our peace. He himself. So I want us to focus upon the person. But in our doing so, then you can just determine which fragment it'll gather up for you, which fragment it'll gather up for you folks. Because when Paul prays that we grow up into Him who is the head, now I'm not making this up. When Paul prays that we grow up into Him who is the head in all things, he's talking about these fragments. The all things of the testimony of God concerning His Son. Search the Scriptures. I know that you do. Search the Scriptures. They are they which testify of Me. And just to show that what he was saying, he wasn't relating to himself as some kind of an idea. He said, but you won't come unto Me. And he repeats it, speaking Me, who I am in My very existence, that you might have life. Hon, that's what it's all about. Yes, it's about searching the Scriptures. We do that. It is about embracing the Scriptures. We do that. Some to one level, some to another. We embrace the Scripture. But the Scripture testifies of the person. It is in the person we find the nature, the character, the spirit, the substance. It isn't a verse of Scripture that dwells in me. It is the person of Christ who dwells in my soul. I may have a brain full of Scripture, but it is the very eternal Spirit of Christ who dwells in my soul. My question this morning to you and I, if I had a question, but a comment to all of us, a thought. Where is Where is our thoughts? I mean, how to say this and not confuse the issue? Do we think more about the Scripture, or do we read the Scripture thinking exclusively about Him? How do you search the Scripture? When you read the Scripture, why? In what expectation, in what hope of glory do you read? Do you search? And when you pray and communicate with God via the Scripture, because most of my praying is while I'm here, because that's where it's stimulated. That's most of my praying is right there while I'm reading. With what expectation? Is all the fragments coming to the basket? Now, you see, that's the ministry. That should be the ministry. Paul in Ephesians 4 says, this is why ministry is given, till we all come in, actually in the same basket. No, not building, not denomination, not anything like that, till we come in the faith of the Son of God. The unity of the faith, but it's there in here, it's there translated, the faith of the Son of God. Defined as even the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto that one who is perfect. Perfect salvation, perfect righteousness, perfect holiness, perfect wisdom, perfect understanding. It's Christ, darling, growing up into Him who is the head. I mean, He said, this is all of just a bunch of sentences right there. They're all together. The perfect. And then talks about the measure of the perfect being the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. And then goes on to say, speaking to one another in love, growing up, that you might grow up into Him who is the head. It's about nothing other than Him and knowing Him. And all these ministries, all of those ministries that the Lord sent out were to bring all the fragments back and put it in the same basket. All those baskets that they had. But they brought it all back into Him. It did not remain fragmented and scattered about. You understand? And in doing that, there is such a tremendous story there. Because the intention is that those who have eaten, those who ate the loaves and the fishes, would be gathered together as well. All of this is set forth in that little story. The person. So, in reading the Scripture, at least let's come to that point. In reading the Scripture, the fragments of bread, the fragments of the drink, the fragments, my words, they are spirit and life, the fragments, to be gathered together in the person who is indeed our salvation. We have found that the revelation of Christ is not a better understanding of the Scripture, though a much better understanding of the Scripture comes when you see Him. But it isn't the Scripture that the Lord reveals in me. He enlightens the eyes of my understanding through the revealing of the Son, who Himself is the light of life. And a person in whom Christ is revealed then searches the Scripture in that light and from that standpoint. But the revelation of Christ, hon, is with regard to the person. So I want to talk to you about that. I got a letter. I don't know how far we'll get in this today. And I want to read this letter to you. I'm going to recommend that we use this in our newsletter that goes out. It's from a precious brother that I've known and worked with in this gospel for over 30 years. And he wrote this to several ministries to whom he has been and with whom he has been sharing Christ. From time to time. And I read this. I am a ruined man. That ought to get your attention. I am a ruined man. The cross of Christ has completely devastated me. I used to have a lot of questions and opinions. I used to read the Bible to gain more information, or maybe to prove or reinforce my spiritual opinions. But then I saw and am seeing Him. The I Am. The Lord Himself, high and lifted up with His. I'm emphasizing His emphasis here. With His glory filling His temple. Now I'm understanding. Out of a knowing, experiencing and living in the present reality of John chapter 14 through 17. Now I am seeing and understanding that there is only one Father's house. I understand that the Father has and will forever have one purpose, His Son. Now understand that there will never be another way, another truth, another life aside from or other than truth Himself, life Himself, way Himself. I'm beginning to understand out of this union and relationship of knowing and experiencing Jesus Christ, the resurrection Himself. Let me read His thought here though. I am beginning to understand, it's out of this union, the eternal judgment and finality of His cross. I'm understanding that Zion, like all things, has no true significance unless it is defined in the person of Jesus Christ, and then by us found in Jesus Christ, and then expressed by us as we are found in Him. I'm understanding that He, in this, oh, that's a great Greek word He's referring to, does not fit in any carnal limitation or any carnal limited concept of time or location found in the carnal mind, but that the effect of truth is seen and felt in both time and location. The cry, the blast of the trumpet, the emphasis of our prayers, messages, focus, resources, money, time, etc., must be for the clear, distinct sound and gospel that we have indeed come to Mount Zion Himself, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, myriads of angels, the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn who enrolled in heaven and God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, not a better amended old covenant, to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. Brethren, how can we live out of a place that we haven't arrived at? I remember as a child singing with great zeal and enjoying the song, "We Are Marching to Zion." It's a nice song, but we have come to Him, the only one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one who never changes and is unchangeable, unshakable, unlimited. I pray Ephesians 1, 17 through 23 and verse chapter 3, 4 through 21 and all of chapter 4 and other scriptures for myself, my family, and the body of Christ continually. The winds of doctrine blow and there are many voices, but we must hear and see him individually first, but also corporately and eternally, because the voice never changes. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, he now speaks in Son. May we turn to see the voice of the one who forever is the speaking, the Word of God. Jesus Christ, the Father's Amen. Feed my sheep, please. P.S. To anyone thinking that there is a problem spiritualizing things, I wish you the best with that sheep sitting on a throne. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. So many who are seeing the Lord are accused of doing just that, spiritualizing things. And I've often thought about that. I've thought the book that is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ is full of imagery. So what are you going to do? Take that out of the Bible? I mean, a big horse and a man riding him with a sword coming out of his mouth, hon, is imagery. It is actually spiritualizing something. It is seeing the reality of the Spirit in that imagery. And we look in the fifth chapter of that, and above the throne and in the midst of the throne and upon the throne sits a Lamb. We know that is the Son of God Himself. Blessed be the Lamb of God. We're not spiritualizing, but seeking to declare the Spirit and the truth. I tell people all the time, you don't need to spiritualize something that's spiritual. Christ in you is the greatest. I want to use all kind of words to emphasize that. But Christ in you is the eternal reality of our salvation. Christ living in you. Blessed be the Lamb of God. So I want us to consider this person that our brother here is talking about, and I want us to just look at a thought here in Hebrews. Here in Hebrews, we are in a note of mine here, mainly to myself. We are personalizing our salvation, gathering together the whole of our salvation into a personification, or better said, into one person. Gathering it up and bringing it all into Him. Hon, if this is not the work of the Spirit of Truth, then please you explain to me what it is. Who will take, Jesus says, of mine and show it unto you. Who will speak of me? Who will glorify me? Blessed be the Lamb of God. Hebrews 4:13 is the verse that really captured my attention. And it is speaking of the Word Himself. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. You know that. speaking of the indwelling Word. Now, there's no doubt about that. A thorough word search here is speaking of that eternal Logos of God that John describes distinctly as being the eternal Son of God Himself. Now, we shouldn't even have to consider that. But this verse is speaking of that Word of God. But the Word of God is a person. Look at it. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest. I want to read this. Let me see. I think I have this. What did I do with? Yes, here it is. I have this right here. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest, that is made apparent. There is not any creature that is not apparent in His. The word His here is autos. It's a strong number, 846, but it impressed me because Vines here describes this word as He Himself and no other. Emphatic. Emphatic. Where the RV brings out the emphaticness, the emphasis by the rendering, it is He. My point here is that this His is a person. It cannot be relegated to just a thought, to just a concept of God, a concept of Christ, the imaginary or legendary, however you'd love to have it, head of a religion called Christianity. That's impossible. This is talking about a person, a real living, in fact, the only real living person. Just stay with me for a minute. And where this is found, see, Thomas Nelson says, see, same, self, very. Because these are all words that are often found to that. The very Himself, the very same, He, the same yesterday. It's Christ. And I was amazed that in this verse, the word is used relating to his own, that they use that word that just captures it. It means exactly Him. See, His sight. You forgive me for taking this time, going this direction, but I want to read something to you. His sight, the emphasis there that's in it. Oh, Lord. 1 Corinthians 4. We're talking about that one that's in you, darling. So many times in our church world, and having grown up in the church world and having no particular problem with the church world now, as far as big disputes go and all of that, but having grown up there, I know that so many times the stimulus comes from the outside. The stimulus to serve God, the stimulus to go out and do something for God, the stimulus to be faithful, the stimulus to give your finances, the stimulus to, on and on and on it goes, the stimulus to gather your family together and get them in church. None of these things are actually in and of themselves bad things, but The stimulus to do it is all from the outside. The stimulus to read your Bible comes from the outside, because there are the promises of God. There you will find this. There you will find that. There you will find your roadmap to heaven. On and on and on and on and on it goes. I had classes in Bible in university. I had classes that taught these kind of things. I know what I'm talking about. That stimulus. When, darling, the only real, true stimulus given of God is from within our soul. Because nothing that comes to me by way of the senses ever actually even reaches my soul. It's impossible that it could. It's impossible. This is the only living word. This is the only word that can actually divide spirit and soul. That can only and actually go into the depth of my soul and bring light into my soul. This one who is in me is that light when he is revealed by the Father. And it's the Father's good pleasure to reveal him. So many, darling, are on the wrong concept that the revealing of Christ is the revealing of another concept. We come to know the difference between the old and the new. Or we come to know this, or we, all of these things. We get the terminology Christ in you and you in Christ, and then we go out preaching that. I've never preached that. That has never been the gospel to me in my life. Those are terms we use. That is not what we preach. It's not what I preach. Those are terms we investigate because they're scripture. But, hon, none of it will affect your soul. It'll all cling to your mind, except this word be revealed in you, this person. Sometimes I run by things and you lose what I'm talking about. This person. All of this that I'm saying right now is in this word, autos, his sight, the eyes of him, not the list of Bible doctrines handed to you and not all of the outside stimulus. The eyes of him. And it takes us right here. Paul's statement. 1 Corinthians 4. You can't go anywhere with this reality that we're the eyes of him. The eyes of him. Neither is there any creature not manifest, that means become apparent as to who and what he is in his sight. Nobody fools him. Nobody. No one is more wise than the wisdom of God himself. And you know that when you face him. You know when you face him, oh my Lord, I have only begun to see. What is 50 years? What 60 years? We're talking about eternity here. I've only begun to see. Open thou mine eyes that I may know you. You understand that when you see him. My Lord, honey. When you see him. let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. I judge not mine own self. I know nothing against myself, and yet I am not thereby justified. He that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing. And hun, that word nothing, I've had a hard time getting away from that. Judge nothing, no thing, nothing before the time until the Lord come. This is until the Lord appear, until the Lord be revealed. We've investigated the word come, and you know that. Who will bring to light? It's the same thing. Will bring to light. The hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest, same word we read in Hebrews, apparent, the counsels of the hearts. Well, you see, that's the whole point, hon. Ever creature. It's not so much from a point of outside, but from what is in the heart. And that's what happens when this word, when all of these fragments are gathered up into that vessel, into Him. And He, the living Word, is revealed in you and in me. It is not unto condemnation, it's unto judgment. Don't we understand that it's unto showing clearly the division? It is at that time that I understand in the face of He who is Spirit the division, not the separation, but the division, that I am the soul, He is the Spirit, He is the life of my soul. I am not Jesus Christ. I will never be. And yet I have no life but Christ, because He lives in me. Now, there is no condemnation in that, but there is a distinction there that it is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. That you could preach to me, you could preach those words to me for the rest of my life, and if it never got beyond me hearing you preach, it would never change me. It would never change me. It would always be me trying in some way or another. Good ways, acceptable ways by many people. Always me, however, trying to be Him. But when that word is revealed, when that person, when you look for God hath shined, there's any doubt in your mind that this light, this appearing, this revealing is somewhere so far away that it can't be defined, Paul brings it right into your heart, honey, right into your heart and right into your soul. Beholding the light of the glory of God with an open heart, with an unveiled heart, the tremendous change that takes place there. And I want to tell you something, darling. In the face of Jesus Christ, in this word, when we behold the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, because that's where Paul goes with that. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he just continues to write his letter, and calling it chapter 4, verse 6 doesn't do anything to it. That really hurts it. And he continues to write this same glory, the glory of the Lord, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This same changing reality with an open heart, a veil done away. In another place, the eyes of your understanding enlightened. It's all saying the same thing. But there he goes on with it in such a beautiful way. And he says, if our gospel be hidden, then it's hidden by those that are blind. Their hearts are blinded. They cannot see. Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. The God of this world hath blinded their eyes. And then he says, but we, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in. And the word is in, not into, in, from within, in our hearts. He has appeared there. He has revealed his Son in me. Oh, that I may know him in the power of his, again, autos, the one, the only, the sure, the steadfast, autos, resurrection. He who says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm talking to you, darling, about the indwelling Son of God. I'm talking to you about the person in whom all of the fragments are gathered, the person in whom God hath spoken, in whom God does speak. Why? Because what he hath done, he is always doing. We're talking about an eternal God. We're not talking about one who adds to it as he goes along. What God does is showing what he is, the revealing of what he hath done. Where's the ongoing part of it? It's in my soul. It's in your soul if you're knowing him. The finished work isn't really what Christ did. It's who he is and who he is revealed of the Father to be. And it's absolutely finished. It's absolutely finished. But until the light of it, the understanding, the knowledge, yea, the faith, which is the substance of it, substance of that which is hoped for, looked for, expected, evidence of that which cannot possibly be known by seeing, the total that cannot be seen, things that cannot be seen. Till the faith of the Son of God. And hun, that comes by the Father revealing that Son. That Son. And it is in that who bringeth to light the hidden things of darkness. And honey, this is not just talking about mean and ugly, bad. Come on. All things. All things. And will make manifest, will show what is the counsels of my heart. And then, and a better rendition of the last part of this verse, you can check it out, you can look at it in other, I use King James, although this one is a Hebrew and Greek study Bible with lexicon, but it's a King James version. But the better rendering here is, then shall every man be seen as God shows him to be. You'll quit being like the man in James who sees his own face, deceives himself, gets up and runs out and starts deceiving others. Because here, the perfect law appears. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It doesn't bring condemnation, honey. It just consumes all that is not Christ. It consumes it as a fire, for our God is the consuming fire. His eyes are flames of fire. This is not spiritualizing. This is speaking of a reality of the very glory of our God revealed in His Son. This is talking about changing a soul. Not just rearranging a doctrine. Not just rearranging a theory. Not just putting a priority to my belief system. No, this is about changing a soul. Transforming a soul. This is about filling my heart with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is talking about here. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. I'm working to get to the end of this verse. Because here it is, the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And I remember when I thought, how do you miss that? You just read over it. The eyes of Him. Darling, darling, darling. We know one another here, and you folks know, most of you know all of us, and then some of you are just with us for the first time, I'm sure. But my point is, just let me make a point. We live in the Scripture here. I live here. I live here night and day. I have for more years than I even want to talk about. Not always, however, in the light of His appearing. At that time, I lived here in great frustration, great confusion, because I believed it to be the Word of God, which it is, the Scripture given of God. But when the light came and began to come, it wasn't something shining up on these pages, but shining within my soul. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And at that moment, at that night, laying under a folding chair in a prayer room, at that time, I knew my whole salvation was this person who was in me. I knew so little about it. I still know little about it because of His allness. But I began to do exactly what I find. I was amazed when you really read, but forgetting that which is behind. Not kicking and hollering and screaming and having a fight with it and making fun of it and all of that kind of stupid stuff. No, just forgetting that which is behind. Even to the point thanking God for the law that kept me. unto the coming of faith. Thanking God maybe for the denomination that at least said, don't do this and don't do that. No telling what I stayed out of because of that. Though it brought frustration to me when I really began to try to seek salvation, you know. No, just forgetting and pressing toward that right here, which is before. That doesn't mean way off out. It does not mean that. It means set right there in front, set right in your face. It means in the face of Jesus Christ. It means the reality that Moses wanted to have but was in the wrong dispensation to have, to see the glory of God. But with an unveiled face, Paul's saying, not like Moses, we will not put a veil over. No, we will not veil our face. We will declare this reality with an unveiled face, praying that you will receive it with an unveiled heart, beholding the glory of the Lord that was prohibited then, but not now because He lives in you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God, because it's the Lamb who has prevailed. Oh, darling, the Lamb is the person. The Lamb is the person of God's Son. Well, we haven't done much except just the person. So we'll pick up here again with this person. But let me just finish it then on that point. All things, the word are there is not in the original. All things naked and open to the eyes of Him. Hon, that's how we see the Lamb of God. I'm sorry. It's how we see the Lamb. Look at Him. Look at Him. You'd have to go back to Ezekiel to really see this. Ezekiel chapter 1. I know we don't even think about the Lamb of God there, but look. You would if you looked at it. The one whose appearance all of those eyes come together in Him. All of the horns, all of the crowns, all of the power implements, and all of the imagery comes together in Him. The wheel within the wheel, the movement of God, the movement of the Spirit of God throughout the land and around the world. Hon, it's all gathered up into Him because He, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, He is the move of God. He is who and what God hath done and what He is doing to those in whom Christ dwells is revealing Him, showing Him to be the eternal work and will and salvation of our God. With whom we have to do. The word have to do here. To do means are accountable. Are accountable. Our reckoning is bound up with Him. But the word means are accountable. Sin seeing then. See, this is not off in the future. Seeing then that we have so great high priest. See? That is passed into the heavens. That can't be translated in any way. Hon, there is no translation. Yes, there might be a commentator, but there is no translation that puts the heavens into a place as a place or as a location. No. Raised together, seated together, same word, in heaven, heavenly places, in Christ. A reality of divine relationship, which is real. It's more real than anything you can see on this earth. It's eternal. It's just not a location. Because this high priest is in you. He is a minister of the sanctuary of God. It is Christ. It is Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our, actually, confession. Confession. All right. So we will just stop here. The guys are telling me that the time is gone. I wanted to just spend some time he himself, the revealed Word of God. And look at that reality from Paul's standpoint, from what Paul says. Oh, that I may know him. Me too. Oh, that I may know him. Darling, I'm telling you something. When you see Christ, and you who have seen him know this, but when you see him, when he is revealed, when the look at who it is. This is not a thought, a concept. It's not my thought. It's not my concept. Being revealed in you, if it was, it would do less than nothing. But this isn't that. This is him. This is him. Him who is come in his glory. This is him. And when he is revealed, it transforms your soul. It transforms your soul. And to say that the all-seeing Lamb of God, the all-knowing Lamb of God, the one who has the fullness of the Spirit. Well, yes, the fullness, let's go this way, of the Godhead bodily dwelling in him now dwells in you. I repeat, this does not make you Christ. But it makes us one who has Christ as our life, no Christ but life, no life rather but Christ. It makes us the one body of Christ, something that even the walls and boundaries of denominationalism cannot actually do away with. For the faith is not a wall that separates the faith is truly the wall that surrounds and makes one the city of God. But when you see him, hon, no one has to tell you, no one has to bring under control your quote-unquote outward man. No one has to give you a list of do this and that's how to get rid of carnality. Or that's how to get rid of this or get rid of something else. I don't like to put it crudely. I mean, my brother here is someone that you would normally never hear a crude word come out of. Not from this brother. No, not from this brother. It's not getting rid of a bunch of things. It's not getting rid of my carnality. It's not getting rid of this flesh thing and that flesh thing, hon. The cross, the Lamb upon the throne gets rid of me. It becomes the manifest realization of my soul. I am dead, yet I live, but not me. Not I, not I, but Christ liveth in me. Sweet darling, you don't have to add anything to that, and anything you would add to it is only going to be shown to be less than. This person, see, the measure of our salvation is this person. He is the measure of all things given of God, desired of God. This person. And when he is revealed in his body, in your soul, he is the standard. He is the measure. And I want to tell you something. Jews could never get a hold of death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. Now, that's the reason they rejected the Lamb. That's the reason they rejected Christ. They wanted him to do, you know, get rid of the Romans, stand up and be, you know, God's man of the hour and all that kind of stuff. And he goes to the cross. They despised him for that. They hated him for that. Because they couldn't separate. Or they did separate, and they couldn't see the unity of of death and resurrection. They couldn't see that death to one is the life to the other. And many have a hard time with that when we talk to them about this one being revealed in you, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God upon the throne as though he were slain. Oh yes, there he is, the eternal Son of God in his power. Same picture. The one in whom dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily and all of the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Same picture. Same person. And in his presence I see both, and I see them in the immediacy of the twinkling of an eye. I see I'm dead, and he is my life. I see I'm dead, and yet I live, but not I. Christ liveth in me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of the living God. See, honey, it's not a teaching. It's not a teaching. I've sat here for over an hour. The light of truth is just like that. Oh yes, then we learn Him. Then that'll put you in the Word. Then you spend the hours. I'm talking about His appearing. I'm talking about God revealing His Son. I'm talking about His appearing in glory. I'm talking about something that the natural mind cannot understand, cannot receive. The natural mind cannot know, but the Spirit reveals. And I'm talking about that which is just infused into you. I'm talking about the light of the life who is Christ in you. And then I'm talking about walking in that light. And there's where we grow. There's the progression. But it's in me. It's in me. He is who He is. Growing up into Him, walking in the light as He is in the light. Hun, there's where our fellowship is, the fellowship of the Father and the Son, the true fellowship of communion, the true fellowship of our faith. That's where it is. And it can't be found anyplace else. Not really. We can try, but it's just not there. We run to the end of it and are disappointed and say, well, it didn't work. The person. The living Word of God. Well, we'll start right here. I'll put my little marker right there. Because I want us to look at this. I want us to look at the revealed Word. I want us to take this right in to the person of the gospel of God. You ought to see how many times in the Scriptures, all of them in Paul's epistles, where the gospel is referred to as the gospel of God. And He's a person. The gospel of God. See, that lets us know why it's not a theology. It's not something developed in the study of the great universes of the world. I'm not against any great universe or anything else. No, it's the gospel of God. And it's for our soul. It can't even be written on the blackboard behind me. No, we can write things about it. We can write a testimony of it. Only God can reveal it. My. Father, thank You today for Your grace. Thank You for these, whoever they may be, that are gathered with us at this time, this real time, and the time that they may be seeing this by virtue of recording. Are listening to it in an audio concept. Let Your grace abound. Let Your Spirit minister. And let Your Son be revealed. And thank You for those that are here today. Our guests, we thank You for them because they are those most particularly of Thine own body and Thine own household. And we welcome them into this place and into this time and into this fellowship. So we thank You today, Lord, for Your great grace. My, fill our hearts. Fill our hearts with that light, that glory that you reveal in the face of your Son. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, bless your name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Blessed be your precious name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, the Lord bless, folks. The Lord bless.